I've just got some short passages of scripture to read. And the first is in John's Gospel, chapter 4. John's Gospel in chapter 4, page 1271. And verse 29, that's John 4, verse 29. Come, see a man who told me all things I had ever done. Is not he the Christ? They went out of the city and came to him. Now in the same gospel in chapter 9, John chapter 9 and verse 10. They said therefore to him, how have thine eyes been opened? He answered and said, a man called Jesus made mud and anointed mine eyes and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. And having gone and washed, I saw. They say therefore to him, where is he? He says, I do not know. Now in chapter 19 of John, chapter 19 of John and verse 4, and Pilate went out again and says to them, lo, I bring him out to you, that ye may know that I find in him no fault whatever. Jesus therefore went forth without, wearing the crown of thorn and the purple robe. And he says to them, behold the man. My last scripture is in Timothy's first epistle. 1 Timothy chapter 2, in the page is 1434 in my Bible. 1 Timothy 2 verse 4, our Saviour God, who desires that all men should be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, for God is one, and the mediator of God and men one, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. I want to speak to you tonight about a man called Jesus. You know, there's nothing like the gospel. It's glad tidings. And who doesn't want it in the present day? I want to speak to you of a man who is able to meet the needs of everyone in this room tonight. And I can say that with confidence. The man whom I present to you is my Saviour. And he can be yours too. I don't stand here tonight preaching to you as though all sinners are before me. No, I preach to you because I'm a sinner myself. But I found a Saviour and I trust him. And I know he loves me. And I know he saved me. And he's given me peace. And no one can take that away. And I want you to have it too. And these scriptures, I know I've only just read short sections from the scriptures because probably most of you know the stories from which those verses are lifted. But I want to tell you in the first scripture about the man who knows all about you. Just like he told this woman. All things she'd ever done. Everything. When you come to John 9, you have the man who was able to do everything. There was nothing he could not do. I think that's wonderful when you put the two together. He knows all about you. He knows your sins. He knows where you stand before God. But he's able to save. And when you come to John 19, it's still Jesus. But behold the man. The man who suffered. The man who died on Calvary's cross so you could be saved. The man who completed the work that God gave him to do. And when you come to Timothy, he gave himself a ransom for all. And that includes you. Now look, is there anybody here tonight who doesn't yet know the Saviour? Because if you do, I can tell you simply that the scriptures that I've read give convincing proof that the man in the glory tonight is the man who is able to save you from your sins right here in this room in Tarring Road. And is able to give you absolute peace with God. That is, sins gone. Gone forever. From before the sight of a holy and a righteous God. You know, a time is coming, and I say this with all seriousness. A time is coming when everybody in this room will meet God. There's no one's going to be able to duck out of it. It's all very well to set your mind on things here and to try and blot out of your thoughts the things of God. But however successful you are at that, time is coming when you're going to stand before God. There is a God with whom you will have to do. So will I. I'll have to stand before him. There will come a time when all men and women will stand before God to give an account of themselves. And what will you say? Well, I read from this scripture at the start. Because what I want to tell you of at the outset is that there's a man who knows you through and through. But he's still offering you salvation. There's a verse in the scriptures, you know, that says that there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Now, what does that mean? It means that when you stand before God in that day that is probably coming very soon, that if you're trusting in Jesus, there'll be no condemnation. No condemnation for you. But if you haven't trusted in Jesus, the scripture makes it quite clear that there's no other way. You'll be in your sins, standing before a holy and righteous God who has all power in his hand. Friend, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God if you're still in your sins. If there's anyone here tonight who's still in their sins, I want you to know first of all that Jesus would love to draw near to you and to forgive you those sins. He'd love to give you the peace that comes with knowing that you're not carrying the burden. That you can look forward to the day when you have to do with God without fear, without anxiety. Because you can have to do with him today, tonight, here in Tarring Road, just where you are. You think of that the God, the Almighty God, is prepared to have to do with you right where you are. And he knows you through and through. Just as he knew all about this woman. Nobody had briefed him beforehand about this woman when Jesus came to the world. Nobody had told him about this woman's history. No. She came, and in the skill and love and grace that Jesus always expressed whenever he spoke to anybody, he was able to start a conversation with this person. And it resulted in a blessing. And tonight, you know, the same Saviour who spoke here with this woman is the same Saviour who tonight is in glory and is prepared to speak to you right where you are on your seat. He knows your sins. He knows your thoughts. He knows the intents of your heart. But he still loves you. Pretty amazing, isn't that? That's the Saviour that I know. That's the Saviour that I trust. And this woman, she opens up to him. She confides in him as recognizing that here is somebody who is far greater than anyone she'd ever met before. And that would be so for you. No matter how great personages you may have met in your life, you can have to do with the greatest person who was ever here on earth tonight. Because he's living in the glory and he's able by his Spirit to draw near to you right where you are. Do you want forgiveness of sins? Do you want peace with God? Do you want to know what it is for your sins to be completely removed from before the sight of God forever? When God forgives sins, he really forgives them, you know. It's so different from us. When we offend one another, we try to forgive and we try to forget. And that's what we should do. But the God who is in glory is able to put my sins completely out of sight forever. They're gone completely before a holy God. He has a righteous basis in the precious work of Jesus to forgive me my sins. Their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more forever. Now remember, I said to you just now, a time is coming when you're going to have to do with him and give an account of yourself. Now, if you're trusting in the precious work of Jesus, you'll stand before him in the certain knowledge that your sins and iniquities he'll never remember anymore. No wonder that hymn writer could say, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. That's the Saviour who knows you through and through. And tonight, that slate that's long with sins, he'll wipe it clean through the precious blood of Jesus, which you've shed at Calvary for sinners like you and me, so that we could go completely free. And as the scripture says, as though to confirm it, if the Son, that's Jesus, if he should set you free, you'll be free indeed. Who wouldn't want to be free in a scene that's full of bondage and sin? Who wouldn't want to know this Saviour and have peace with God? Is there anyone here not interested in the salvation that God is offering you tonight? Oh, I wouldn't like to have to meet him in a day to come and say, I heard the gospel, yes, but I really wasn't very interested. Maybe we could say for some of us, well, we'd heard it many, many times. But wouldn't it be sad to say, it had never affected my heart. It had never caused me to receive the Saviour into my heart. Never caused me to swing those heart's doors widely open and let him enter while he may. Never did it. Never. How many opportunities did you let slip by? Oh, friend, don't bother counting. Just come today. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Like this woman, She went out into the town where she was known, and she says, come, see a man. He told me all things I've ever done. What an admission. That's what she said. Is not he the Christ? Yes, he is. And they came to him. That's what I want you to do tonight. I want you to come to Christ. Because there's no other way of salvation. And there's no other persons able to help you. Be nice, wouldn't it, if parents could just give salvation to their family. Just pass it on. You can't do that. Parents can do quite a lot for you, but they can't do that. They can tell you about Jesus. They can tell you about their own experience of salvation. But they can't give you salvation. You've got to have it yourself. And you have it by coming to Jesus. And I would encourage everyone here tonight, no matter how many times you've heard the gospel, come to Jesus tonight and own him as your own personal saviour. When I come to John 9, a man called Jesus. I love those words. He stooped for me. He stooped for this blind man. He did what no one else could ever do. A man born blind, and he gave him sight. You know, there's something about my Saviour that makes him stand out above all others. He's able for everything. And here was a person who had been born blind. And those of the religious order weren't very happy about it. That somebody else could do things that they couldn't. Well, friend, I tell you this. A lot of people may be very clever and may be able to do a lot of things that you can't do. And you may well respect them for it. But the man in the glory stands out uniquely above them all. And he's able for everything. Why is he able? Because, dear friend, he's been here completely committed to the will of his God and Father for 33 years. And at the end of those 33 years, he went to Calvary's cross. And he suffered and he died there and shed his precious blood as a sacrifice before God. And God accepted that sacrifice. And when he suffered on that cross, he took my place, because I should have been there, suffering for my own sins. But Jesus died instead of me. Isn't it wonderful what Jesus has done? He stooped so low, as the scripture says, he was made some little inferior to the angels on account of the sufferings of death. But he's crowned with glory and honour. He is. My Saviour, who stooped for me, is ascended tonight at God's right hand, having completed the work that was given him to do. That's why I can preach the gospel. It's a work that's been done. And this wonderful Saviour, he gives instructions to this man and he says, go to Siloam and wash. Well, I can't say much about going to Siloam and washing. But what I can say is this. God's gospel is not optional. It is for obedience of faith. God commands all men everywhere to repent. It's not an option. And tonight that's the solemnity and the blessing of the gospel. Obedience to God's word. There it is, the glory of salvation shining out in the Saviour. Will you obey? Will you repent? Will you believe? The jailer in Acts 16 believed, didn't he? What must I do that I may be saved? Have you ever asked that question? Well, here's the answer. Believe on the Lord Jesus and thou shalt be saved. No ifs, no buts, no uncertainty. Again, blessed assurance. Jesus was his. But then you see, he has a question asked him. They say, where is he, this Jesus? Where is he? Where he says, I don't know. I don't know where he is. I can tell you that this Saviour who stooped so low at Calvary and shed his precious blood so that you might be saved is the one whom God has crowned with glory and honour. And tonight he's in heaven. And he's seated at God's right hand as a Lord and Saviour of sinners like you and me. That's where he is. And the wonder of it is that everyone that trusts him will one day soon be with him. That's a day to look forward to, isn't it? When we shall see him face to face. That face that was marred more than any man's when he died at Calvary. It's a face upon which we shall gaze eternally and our hearts will be satisfied. Can you think of anything in this world that gives you complete satisfaction? But when it comes to eternity, when time has ceased to be, we'll gaze upon the one who died for us and whom we trusted, and our hearts will be completely satisfied with the glory and greatness of who he is and with what he has done. And you can make sure that that can be yours if you trust him tonight. I can't tell you how soon he's coming. I can't tell you how much time you've got left to make your decision. All I can say is that you better make it now. Because the Bible doesn't tell me when he's going to come. And various people may make predictions as to when he's coming, but they don't know either. So the way is a way of obedience to God's word. And again I say, now is the accepted time. And now is the day of salvation. If you trust him tonight, just where you are in this room, when you go out through those doors tonight, you'll know that you have a heavenly home prepared for you and you're bound for him. It's a wonderful prospect, isn't it? And it all comes as a result of the man called Jesus. Make sure he's your saviour. When we come to John 19, we have the man who suffered. Oh yes, he suffered for me. He was put before an unjust trial. Oh, the perfection that shone out in Jesus, that even his enemies had to admit. He stood before Pilate's judgment seat. But Pilate, having questioned him, had to go out to the crowd and say, lo, I bring him out to you, that ye may know that I find in him no fault whatever. What a man. You think of that from the time of his birth, right through to the time of his death, there was no fault whatever. There's no one like him. You can be sure of that. But do you know, it was necessary to satisfy God's righteous and holy requirements that the one who suffered at Calvary and gave his life for you and me should be the perfect, spotless one. A sacrifice. A perfect sacrifice with which God was absolutely satisfied. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. What a saviour. And there he was, paraded out, we may say, before a hostile crowd, who in a few moments would be saying, "Crucify, crucify, we will not have this man to reign over us." And yet he still went on to Calvary. He could have called upon more than 12 legions of angels to have lifted him up out of those circumstances. Because of who he was, the blessed Son of God, he could have returned to heaven and bypassed the cross. And if he had, there'd be no salvation for you or me. But he didn't. He went the way of suffering. Behold the man who suffered for me to wash my sins away and to wash yours away too. This is the man I love and trust, and I want you to do the same. Because if he could love me so much that he went that way and was like a lamb, what is it, as a sheep before his shearers, and he opened not his mouth. He falsely accused, and yet when reviled, he reviled not again. And when suffering, he threatened not. If he went that way and showed all the perfection and love of God towards sinners like me, shouldn't I trust him and shouldn't I love him? Friend, he went that way and he went that way for each one of us. And the gospel is preached now for your acceptance. That precious blood that was shed at Calvary to wash my sins away. If you trust in Jesus, you can know what it is for your sins to be washed away too. That crimson stain that our sins have brought about, gone forever. God will never remember them anymore. But when I come to Timothy, I want you first of all to know this, that God, our Saviour God, desires that all men should be saved. Now, that includes you. And I want you to grasp this, because it's important to me, and I think it's important to all of us, to know that God desires that we should be saved. He desires it so much that he gave his son that we should be saved. It says in one of the scriptures that I can hardly understand, but I just convey it to you, that it pleased Jehovah to bruise him. That's how much he loved you. And tonight the wonder of the gospel is that the love that caused him to give his only son to die on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago is the love that remains unchanged. You think of that tremendous love of God that caused him to give his son, and that love remains unchanged for you tonight. To you, he knows your name. He knows your heart. He knows your thoughts. What are you going to do with Jesus, who is called Christ? Will you receive him as your Saviour? Will you trust him? or will you reject him? You know what rejecting him means, don't you? He'll stand before God in the day to come. And instead of meeting him as you can right now tonight as a saviour, you'll meet him as a judge. And you'll be judged in your sins. And you'll be banished from the presence of God forever. And there'll be no further opportunity for salvation. Oh, why would you miss an opportunity to be saved when you can be tonight? When this glorious Saviour in love is appealing to your heart to tell you that he wants you. He wants you to be amongst those myriads who will rejoice in his presence throughout the eternal day. Can you say, yon heaven is my home? I thank God that I can. I look forward to the day when I shall see my Saviour face to face. And I would love to think that everybody in this hall tonight could say the same. Well, Jesus is calling each one. This man called Jesus. There's no other way. And there's no other person. So trust him tonight. And may God bless his word for his name's sake. Amen.